This is Emily from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to today's message.
I was reading and studying this morning on things that the devil uses to try to bring setbacks in ministries. And one of the things that the author of the book that he was talking about was the first one that he talked about was the issue of compromise. And I read this book. It was called Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders. And I don't know why, but when I read through the book the first time, every other chapter in that book is underlined, highlighted, except that one. And apparently, I don't know, I skipped it or I didn't have a pen when I read it the first time, but I sure don't remember the story, so I must have skipped a chapter. That this morning when I was just, you know, alone with the Lord, that the Lord's like, you're going to need this. And old Oswald Sanders, that old preacher of the past, he talked about the issue of compromise. And just in a very short section in the book, when Moses and God's people were getting ready to come out of the promised land, there were four compromises that Pharaoh tried to make with them. Because he knew that if they compromise in these areas, they would never be able to effectively serve the Lord. And he sat in just in very short terms talking about these four compromises. It's nothing you could really, you know, get up and preach a house of fire of for 45 minutes about. But just in passing, the Lord just captured my attention, and he's like, you need to look at that. And it's found in chapter 8, begins in chapter number 8 and carries over into chapter number 10. And most of you are students of the scripture. You know that God's people were in Egypt. God had told Abraham, your descendants are going to be in Egypt 400 years. And then they're going to come out. And they're going to come out. And it's going to be good when they come out. And so in this path along the way, God had this little boy that he wanted to lead his people. And God intervened in his life because according to the Egyptian post-birth abortion plan at that time, all these little baby boys were supposed to be killed. They weren't going to abort them in the womb or just outside the womb where they took them and killed them like sometimes happens in our day, but they would take them once they were born, and the government order was throw them in the Nile River. So, you know, you just think about yourself. You had your child, and the government says, if it's a boy, throw him in. And I don't even know what parent could do that with any kind of a clear conscience at all. But it was the law. And, you know, there are days and times over the years that the king's command has been contrary to the commands of God. And then we got to make a choice about what we're going to do. Mom and dad were people of faith, and they just couldn't bring themselves to do it. And this little boy that was supposed to die, God spares his life because his family was people of faith, and they were willing to take a risk and obey God over man. And he grows up, and he's 40 years. The old statement is that Moses spent 40 years in Egypt thinking he was a somebody. And then he spent 40 years in the desert realizing that he was a nobody. And then he spent the last 40 years of his life figuring out what God could do with a nobody. So after he'd come to terms with the fact that he was a nobody now, and then the Lord shows up one day when he's 80 years old and he says, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. So his journey back, he didn't think for many reasons he was the right guy. And maybe by worldly standards, he was the last one that should have been. But when God calls you, you know, and spiritual leaders, they're not self-made. There is no such thing as a self-made spiritual leader. Spiritual leadership comes as God develops us over the years and prepares us for leadership. And many times that journey, as one old preacher said, the greater the responsibility that God has, the greater the character that you're going to need to develop it, to lead. And so he has to develop. And sometimes it took God 20 years to develop a guy. In Moses' case, 40 in the backside of the desert. And who would think that God would be preparing us, maybe in our circumstances, in your circumstances right now, you look at your life and you say, well, I don't really see how God's preparing me for anything. But he may well be. Because spiritual leaders aren't self-made, and spiritual leaders are God-made, and they're God-appointed. So when you get to chapter number 8, Moses has this tall task, as God's going to pour out these 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt. But the conversation along the way. So we pick it up in chapter 8, and we're even going to jump to verse number 25, not just for the sake of time, but just for the sake of context, because it doesn't need to be eternal to be an immortal message, so to speak, or one that will last time. Verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and he said, go ye, you guys go and sacrifice to your God. Because the complaint was, let my people go. So when Pharaoh begins to realize that he's going to have to make some concessions, that his first concession is this, that I'm going to allow you guys to go and sacrifice to your God, but the stipulation upon I'm going to release you to go worship God or to go serve God, he said, but the stipulation is that you need to do it, you need to do that service to God right here in the land. So it's interesting when you get to verse 26 that Moses said that it is not meet. Meet means suitable or proper. It's not meet, he says, so to do. So you, Pharaoh, are wanting me to serve the Lord, and you're wanting me to do what we need to do here and have this special ceremony. You want me to do this thing in Egypt. But what I'm telling you is that that's not proper for us to do what we're supposed to do in service to God still here in this land. In fact, in verse 26, he says, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we stay here in this circumstance and we're in the land and we perform this sacrifice, then this is really just going to be a sacrifice of the Egyptians to the Lord our God, and that's not going to be proper. In fact, he says, lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? In fact, when he says in verse 27, we need to go 3 days away. He says, we will go 3 days journey into the wilderness, and we will sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And what Moses understands is this very simple first principle. It's what Moses understands. And then in this message, there's what the devil understands. And what the devil understands is that even if, in a sense, you make a compromise to go, all right, I'm going to kind of let you guys go to go serve the Lord or to do your sacrificing to the Lord, if we can still keep them in the same situation that they're in, that it's going to hold them back from being able to do what God wants them to do. Because even in the New Testament, in New Testament Christianity, it tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because the question is, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And the answer is, it has none. And what communion has light with darkness? The answer to that is none. That righteousness doesn't have any fellowship with unrighteousness. They're two polar opposites. And light has no communion with darkness. And what concord, or what, in a sense, agreement is there between Christ and Belial, or a false god? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And the answer to all those things are, there's absolutely none. In fact, it's one of the very basic first principles of understanding living in Christianity, that light has nothing to do with darkness, that Christ has complete opposite. You can't live for Christ and the devil at the same time. There's no communion in these things between believers and unbelievers. And, you know, we can work together and we can live together in the same community, but it doesn't mix. In fact, we find out very quickly after we get saved and we become a new creature in Jesus. Jesus Christ that now, in a sense, we understand friendship with the world is being an enemy with God. When we become born-again believers in Christ, that there is a required separation. Come out from among them, God is about to tell them, and be separate. And when we become born-again believers, because the devil knows that if we don't separate, that it's going to be nearly impossible for us, in fact, it is impossible, to live an effective Christian life if we get saved, we begin to serve the Lord, and we stay in the land, or we stay in the same exact circumstances that we were in before we got saved. Because the way we used to live, the people that we, in a sense, used to run with, the way that we used to think and operate, we got saved, now we have to we're a new person in Christ. We have a new home. We have a new Savior. We're to learn a new way to think and a new way to operate and a new way to function. And it is entirely, and what you find as a believer, it is entirely incongruent with the old person that we were and the old way that we used to live before we became born again believers. So when the devil proposes this through Pharaoh, he understands fully what he's doing. What we're going to ask you to do is, you serve the Lord, but change nothing. And some of us that are in here have felt the pain, in a sense, on the inside of trying to be born again believers and still function and operate as we did before we even got saved. And we learn very quickly, it doesn't roll like that. Well, does it? Stay here. Like, I'll let you go serve the Lord, but what I'm asking you to do is to stay here in the land. When you're in 2 Corinthians 6, I'm not asking you to turn there. Just listen. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And for ye are the temple of the living God. Now that God's residing in you as a born-again believer, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? For which reason? Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So immediately when we get saved, we're gonna serve the Lord, but we're gonna have to separate out from the land. Then we're not going to stay here in the same exact circumstance. It doesn't mean we need to get out of our marriage. It doesn't mean that we need to quit our job. It just means in the spiritual landscape, things have to change. And there may be some things on a physical level that need to change. When you get down to verse number 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. So he's going to make a concession. First, it was going to be, you got to stay here in the land. In other words, you know, serve God, but change nothing. The second compromise is, I'm going to let you serve God, but you don't need to go very far. Like, I'll agree to this 3 days into the wilderness, but that's it. Because the devil knows that if we get out there, you know, too far, that he's going to lose his grip to some degree. And the world says this stuff to us all the time. Like, you know, be a Christian, but don't be a fanatic. Right? So don't go too crazy. Like, don't get too out there because, you know, you're just going to end up being some crazy radical. You know, you can separate. We agree that if you're going to be saved, the compromise is if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to be a little bit different, but don't go crazy. So I'm gonna agree to let you go into the wilderness. When you get to verse number 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. And then he says, I want you to entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out. Now, what's interesting when you begin to mark these statements that Moses made when the offer is worship God, but change nothing, he says, it's not meet to do that. It's not suitable to do that. Things have to change. When Pharaoh comes back and he says, you know, I'm going to let you go, but don't go very far, Moses' response is, behold, I go out from thee. That I don't care what you have to say, I'm going. Now, that sounds funny to say that, but sometimes, you know, the devil is this a manipulator and wants us to be involved in compromise, because as long as we are compromising, that he has a certain amount of grip or hold on us through our circumstances. And he would even have us as born-again believers still living in bondage in Egypt, if at all possible, and in bondage to our sins, and in bondage to our old addictions. And he knows, but he doesn't want us to get out there and to get too radical, because if you start really selling out completely to Jesus so that it's you're going serving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he's going to lose some power over you. So I'll agree to go, but Moses says, I'm going to go out. In verse 29, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses did what? In verse 30, he went out. See, because what the devil knows is that you can't live successfully for the Lord with one foot still in the world. Now listen closely. And there have been many of us that tried it, that I'll let you go out a little bit, and we got one foot still in the world, and we got one foot living for Jesus Christ. The devil would prefer it, stay in the land, and I'm not going to let you go. And when you're persistent, like, look, this isn't suitable, I'm going to have to go, then he's like, okay, we'll just keep one foot in the world and put one foot over there, and you can serve God like this. But the Bible says, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. True? And what we find very quickly is, as believers, that even this compromise, so, no, we're going to go out of the land. There are some things that are going to change in my life now that I'm a believer and serving the Lord, but now to straddle the fence. And that's not going to work. And this is what Moses makes very clear. Because the devil knows no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve, he said, God and man. And Moses' response to that is, behold, I go out from thee. I'm going. I don't care what you have to say. When you go to chapter 10, if you would, so two things that we see already in compromises the devil tries to get us to make, you know, serve God, but change nothing. And then the second is, you know, serve God, but don't be a fanatic, don't be crazy, keep one foot in the world and one serving God. Where your treasure is, there were your what? And we know that. And love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So when you get to chapter number 10, God amps up between chapter 8 and chapter 10. And there are several plagues that have hit. And so Pharaoh's really willing to make some even more compromises. Chapter 10, verse 7, and Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Speaking about Moses. Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet, don't you know, Pharaoh, that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, he's like, go serve the Lord, but who are you wanting to go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Pharaoh said, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones, for it is evil before you. And then the answer is, not so, in verse number 11, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. Because here's the third step. The first compromise is, you serve God, but stay here in the land. The second is, I'm going to let you go out, but like, don't go crazy. Keep one foot in the world and one foot serving the Lord, which never works well. And then he says, I'm going to let you guys go, but listen, guys, your wives and your kids can't go. I'll let you go, but your wives and kids can't go. You might say, well, what is that? Well, what it is this. What's a guy going to do? What are those guys going to do? They go out into the wilderness to serve the Lord, and their wives and their kids are back in the land of Egypt. they're coming back. Listen, if I've got your wife and kids, you'll be back. And it's interesting that when we get saved, what we understand is, as Moses instructed to the nation of Israel, he says, and Moses said, Moses taught in Deuteronomy, "Hear thou, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," not just in your heart, "but thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And even when you get over to Joshua's leadership, he said, you know, "Choose you this day who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." You get in the New Testament, and the guy says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house." Because when God reaches one person in the family, his intent is to reach the entire family. And the devil knows the great difficulty of that. If you can get a person, mom or dad, in a sense, saved in the family, but if you can hold back the rest of the family, that it's going to be a big drain on your ability to be able to serve the Lord. And God's intent is that this is a whole family decision to serve the Lord, and that mom and dad step up. If mom and dad are both in the home, if it's just a single parent family, listen, serve the Lord with all your heart. You know, I have people ask me over the years many times, you know, should I make my kids come to church? Joshua's like, my kids are going. Because God intended for this to be a whole family thing. Because what's going to happen? And I just ask you this. And I even understand, and not just for when our kids were growing up, it's like, look, Sunday is the Lord's day, and we're going to serve the Lord. And you're not going to be involved in anything that's going to take you out of serving the Lord on a Sunday. All right? So that was our decision as a family, because we understand the strain. I was a youth director for 4 years. I understand the difficulties, and the world tries so desperately hard to get our kids, because they know it's very hard for us to say no to our kids. And even it even gets more difficult when it's your grandkids. When your grandkids go, you know, Papa, like I got this thing on Sunday. And everything in you, you know, you're like, man, like this is the Lord's day. But man, I love these grandkids. And I'm telling you, it does not get easier. And them grandkids, and they're like, would you please come to my thing? And you're like, ah. Don't you do that with your kids? This is why the Christian faith is like, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do as a family. And this is why the third compromise is, you men can go, but your kids can't. And your wives can't. Y'all boys will be back. Compromise three. Who y'all wanting to take? Moses' response is, We're going to go. And we're going to take our young, and we're going to take our old, and we're going to take our sons, and we are going to take our daughters. And we are going to go. And we're going to take our herds. And we're going to go. Well, when you get to verse 24 of chapter number 10, we find the fourth compromise of the devil. Verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses, and he said, "Go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds." So I'm going to let your wives and kids go. I think what we're starting to learn here is this. When God releases us, sets us free, the devil can't hold us in the land. Because God already told Moses, now listen, you guys are coming out of there. And on this 10th one, you're out. So let's now follow this. So the devil isn't going to be able to overcome God. So what he has to do is act like he has some power over us that he doesn't even really have. I will let you go as long as you stay in the land. I'll let you go as long as you don't go very far. I'll let you go if you don't take your wives and kids. And then the last one is, I'll let you go as long as you don't take your flocks and your herds. Because where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. And not only is a guy's heart or a woman's heart drawn to their family. If I got your wife and kids, or I got your husband and kids, it makes it very difficult for you. But if I've got you wrapped up in the world and your finances all caught up in the world, it's going to make us it very difficult for us to really serve the Lord effectively. I'll let you go, but I'm going to keep your income. I'm going to keep your flocks and your herds. You could go out of here, but I'm going to keep your money. And what we're learning through this thing is that the Pharaoh has to keep compromising, because Moses, in every step of the way, that he's like, stay in the land, Moses is like, no deal. Well, then I'll let you go out as long as you're compromising in the world. And Moses is like, no deal to that either. Well, I'll keep your wife and kids. And Moses is like, no deal. Well, then I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to keep your flocks and your herds. Now, what do you think Moses is going to say to that? Now, you may say, well, you can't just keep telling the world no deal and expect that everything's going to work all right. But when God is with you, verse 24, and Pharaoh called unto Moses, and he said, go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Now, what? He just told the Pharaoh of the nation of Egypt, you have to let us take our stuff. Now, who in the world in this day is going to tell the Pharaoh, you have to let our stuff go too? Well, the answer, Moses. Because Moses understood. One plus God is a majority. And even Pharaoh isn't holding anything that God tells him to let go. You must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. We're not leaving one hoof behind. Reminds me of the book of Proverbs. The righteous are bold as a lion. Listen, Pharaoh, no compromise on this thing. We're not leaving one hoof behind, for therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither, till we get to that place. So we ain't leaving nothing behind, because when we get over there to serve the Lord, we're going to serve the Lord with everything. We're going to serve the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to serve the Lord with our family, our kids, our young, and we're going to serve the Lord with our old, and we're going to serve the Lord with our stuff. And you want to talk about a picture in the Old Testament of New Testament Christianity? This is what God calls us to do. We get saved. We are going to come out of, in a sense, our Egypt or the old life that we used to live. And I used to think when I was young that the promised land was a picture of heaven. But the promised land isn't a picture of heaven. It's a picture of where God's taken us in this life in our service to follow him. And it's really good over there. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. But the devil, who has no power over us at all when we become born-again believers, in an effort to try to hold on to us, to keep us from the great place that God wants to take us, acts like he's going to try to manipulate us or leverage us. And all along the way, what we learn from Moses is, no deal, Pharaoh, I'm not going to stay in the land. I'm going to separate, in New Testament terminology, and I'm going to be separate unto the Lord, because the light has nothing to do with darkness, and Christ has nothing to do with Belial. They're complete opposites. And no, devil, we're not going to be compromisers to live with one foot in the world and one foot serving the Lord, because that never works out well. And no, we're not going to leave our children behind. And no, I'm not going to leave my spouse behind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that God intends to work in our whole entire family. And no,
devil, we're not leaving our stuff behind, because we're going to serve the Lord, not just with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we're going to serve the Lord with the possessions that we have and what God has given us that we're going to use in our service to the Lord. And we see in this compromise, in this Old Testament picture, we see a tremendous picture, again, of New Testament Christianity and the stance that we have to take. Because I'm telling you that the devil will try to intimidate us out of full service to the Lord our God. But he has no power over us as long as God is in control, and he's in control forever. And the only power the devil has, whether it was over the Jewish people when they were in Egypt, or whether it was Pilate having power over Jesus Christ when Jesus said to him, you could have no power over me at all unless it were given to you by God. And so if you want my answer, and listen, every one of us as believers, no matter where we are on this continuum, so to speak, of living for Christ, we're somewhere along the way. And there's a lot of people that are in here tonight that you've gotten to the stage in your life, but you can look back and remember those steps along the way for you. When you first got saved and the devil tried to get you to serve the Lord, but stay in the land, and you're like, no, man, I got to separate. And you remember the days when you determined to separate out personally for God, and then the devil wanted you to stay in this, living a life of compromise, and you're like, this is horrible. Listen, that's horrible to live the Christian life with one foot in the world and one foot living for God. It's awful. It's miserable. Because you know, this is not what God's called me to do. To have a half-hearted service to God. And then the devil's like, you know, even in the text, when Moses is like, no, we're taking our kids. In so many words, Pharaoh goes, gonna be trouble. How many times has the devil kept us back from effectively serving God? Because he's like, all right, but you're gonna have some trouble. I had a lot of trouble living over there in the world. I had a lot of trouble living this half-hearted service to God. That was horrible. So whatever, you know, trouble that we're going to have and that God lets us go through when we're like, our family's going to live for God, then all right. It doesn't deter me. And some of you are there tonight. Many that are in this room tonight are over here. And you realized, despite the threats, the intimidation all along the way, God is more powerful than all, and he's brought you here. And we're serving the Lord with all our heart. We're serving the Lord without apology. We are, in a sense, consecrated unto the Lord. I just want to close with this. I had zero plans of preaching this message tonight. To the Lord, like, I'm not the guy. But the Lord's like, you know, you are the guy, because it was about the right message in the right place. Moses went to the people and he said, listen, tomorrow the Lord's going to show up. But to be ready for tomorrow, we got to consecrate today.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. Many of our audio messages are shortened due to time constraints. To view the full-length video version of our messages, check out Bible Baptist Church West Union on Facebook. You can also find out more information about our church by going to our website, hearshope.org. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. recipe. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would going on to if you could. Who could work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 You take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way.